Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
So we're going to begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to be doing all of our page turning today is going to take place in the book of Proverbs. So just warm your fingers up. We're going to be doing a good bit of flipping here in the next few moments. But we're going to begin in Proverbs 1. Last week and this week and next Sunday, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. Last week, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1 as a whole. We saw the big picture of the fact that godly wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And as we read earlier, we find that God's word tells us that God is righteous. We are sinful. Because of that, we can do nothing to save ourselves. That he had to do something for us, and because of his love for us, he sent his son to live a perfect life, to die a death that we were supposed to die for our sin on the cross in our place, and to raise up from the dead, achieving victory for all those who would repent and believe in him over sin and death. We find that when we look at the whole of God's word, what the fear of the Lord leads a man or woman to do before they do anything else is bow their knee to Jesus, believe in him and his life, death, and resurrection, and bow their knee to him. Repent of their sin. And so this morning, you're going to see that these Proverbs, because that is where wisdom begins, if you're not a Christian today, before you apply any other of the Proverbs to your life, I would encourage you to apply Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 to your life. Give your life to Jesus, and then you can get there. But I would also encourage you to listen as we walk through the book of Proverbs this morning and look at different aspects that it gives us to our lives, that you would listen and you would see the grace that God gives us through his son Jesus. If you're a church member here, a Christian here today, I would encourage you to, as we look at the whole of this book, to take what we see and just check your life with it. As we said last week, Proverbs is very, very practical. And what we're looking at this morning is no different. So I would encourage you to use it as a mirror to compare your life. This is what wisdom should look like. Does my life look like that? And if not, how can I seek the Lord in my life to see that happen in my life? So, are you ready? Okay. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you that because of your love for us, you have met our need for you, not just in the life, death, and resurrection of your son, but in your presence, your continual presence with us. God, we know that you are here with us now. We ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask that you would give us wisdom to apply your word to our lives. We ask that you would give us a desire to apply your word to our life. God, we pray that you would do things that only you can in our lives this morning. Amen. All right, we're going to see three pieces of truth. As I said a moment ago, we're going to be doing a lot of flipping. What we're going to see this morning is one of the things that runs throughout every chapter in this book of Proverbs. Really, when we back up, when we look for wisdom in the rest of God's word, it also runs throughout the whole of God's word. And that is this. This is our first piece of truth this morning. That godly wisdom is found in godly community. Okay, we see this throughout this book. But the first time we see it is in the first chapter. Look at chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. We see that this is a father speaking to his son. That many of these proverbs were written by a father for his son. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." In fact, if we can't keep reading and we go to chapter 2, look at the first couple of words of chapter 2. It begins with these words over and over again. My son, chapter 3. My son, chapter 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Chapter 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Chapter 6. My son. Chapter 7. My son. Over and over again. That's not the only places we see that. We see it within chapters. We see it beginning in the chapters throughout this entire book of Proverbs. We see this idea of this reality, not just an idea, this reality of godly wisdom being passed down from one generation to the next in this book. And we see it being passed down specifically within the nuclear family from a father to a son. And so we see, along with many other places we could go in this book, right off the bat, that godly wisdom should be found in the community of the nuclear family. By that, what I mean is within parents and children, within brothers and sisters, even broadening out from that, aunts and uncles and grandparents. For children and grandchildren, they should constantly be surrounded by the godly wisdom of their family. They should be given godly wisdom by their family, by their parents, by their grandparents, by their older siblings, by their aunts and uncles. So here's a question for us, parent or grandparent: is your home a place where godly wisdom flourishes? Or is it a place where sin flourishes? Another way we could ask this is your home, if your child or grandchild, or if a child were to live there, would your home be a place where they would learn how to live sinfully? I don't necessarily mean outright, I just mean generally ignoring God. Or is it a place where they learn to fear the Lord and to walk in His ways? You may say, well, Pastor, that's what the church is for, right? We bring our children to church so that they can learn in Sunday school and they can learn in worship and kids rock and all the other things we do with our children, learn to fear the Lord. And I would say, yes, it is. That is why we bring our children here to church. But you know who influences children more than the church does? Their mamas and their daddies, and their grandparents, their aunts and uncles. I'll get to the importance in the church in a second, but I want to help you think about this and me think about this for a second. You take church, and we come to church even today. Like, I'm going to widely apply some proverbs to our lives today as a pastor, as a preacher. That's generally speaking what I do each week, or whoever is preaching up here each week, that is what we do. That's even what we do in the context of Sunday school. The difference between what I can do and what a parent can do, or a grandparent, or an adult who has influence over a child, is this. While I'm going to widely apply these things, this afternoon there's going to be some parents who go home, and in the midst of their kids being tired, their kids are going to do something silly, some would say foolish, because they're tired and they have a short fuse and their anger gets away from them. The difference between what I can do and what that parent can do is this, is that parent can sit down once their child cools off with them and that parent can help that child apply, for example, Proverbs 15:1, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. That parent can help that child in the context of where he or she lives, learn and see what it looks like in their home for them to have self-control when it comes to their anger. As a pastor, I can teach broadly what that means, but a parent has the glorious responsibility and privilege of actually showing a child what that means in their life. Our homes should be places where godly wisdom flourishes. Now, hopefully, that godly community for a family isn't limited to their family, but it extends out to a local church. See in Proverbs 11:14, go there with me. Chapter 11, verse 14 says this. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Read it one more time. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So there's this idea that Proverbs gives us over and over again, that there is wisdom in an abundance of counselors. Now, some families may be blessed with an abundance of counselors, but here's the reality. God has given us the local church to have even more wise counselors in our lives. Proverbs 15:22 says this, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So the book of Proverbs, largely, and these are not, chapter 11 and chapter 15 aren't the only places that push us towards this, but throughout the book of Proverbs, it sends a clear message that godly wisdom should be found in a family, but it should also be found in a larger community. And for us, on this side of Jesus, that is found in the local church. So, for example, we walk through the book of Proverbs and we see this truth that someone who is in debt is a slave to whoever they've borrowed money from. And someone who is in the congregation sees that and they go, wait, that is me. I've gotten myself in that kind of situation where I've become a slave to my debt and to the people that I owe money to the bank or whatever. But I don't know what to do. I see that. I heard that from my preacher, but I don't know what to do in my life. And it's me and my family who are in this situation. You know what that person can do? A person can sit down with someone in his or her Sunday school class and say, I need you to pray for me, and if you have any wisdom, I'd like you to share it with me. I don't know what to do. We're in much more debt than we should be in. And we're stuck. Do you have any idea what I can do? Or they could go to an older, wiser church member and say, I know you've walked where I've been. I know you've had small children and you've had car payments and a house payment and all these things. Do you have any wisdom you could share with me? Because this is now the situation I find myself in, and I know as a Christian I'm not supposed to be here. What do I do? And in that situation, that person can go to the wisdom of their church family, not publicly, but privately to other church members, and find a multitude of counselors to help them through that. Not just in the midst of trouble, but even before decisions, right? You don't know what to do, or you don't know what the wise decision is. Find some counsel in your church family. Now, what I want us to see here is by God's design, an individual would grow up surrounded by godly wisdom in their family, and by God's design, they would have even more wise counselors in their church family. Now, I want you to see God's grace in that. He is so loving towards us and graceful towards us that he would give an abundance of wisdom to a bunch of foolish sinners. That we would ignore his guidance and get ourselves in situations or even contemplate situations that we shouldn't be in, and yet he would surround us with people who love us, who want the best for us, and are wiser than us to help us get out of those situations and hopefully at times help us avoid those situations. God loves us. He has given us our families and our church family because he loves us. And those things are both, should be, sources of wisdom for us. You see, the reverse is true too. We should be available to those in our church family at the time that they run into something we have already experienced. Okay? So we need that from our church family, and our church family needs that from us. Amen? You still with me? You still with me? Okay. All right. So wisdom is found in community. And because of that, Truth Piece 2, godly wisdom leads us to value godly community. So throughout the book of Proverbs, we have some negative commands. In other words, don't do these things. In Proverbs chapter 1, the father is telling his son, when sinners entice you, do not go with them. But there are some positive commands in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. And you'll notice these are not the only places that Proverbs says this. I'm just going to give you a handful. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Again, valuing the community of a wife. Chapter 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. You see that? A godly, wise father is the glory of his children. Valuing that godly community. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Value in community. Friendship, value in brotherhood. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a glad father. Proverbs 18:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Encouraging, you hear that? Encouragement towards children to listen to the wisdom of their parents. Children, teenagers, you're getting to the age where you think you're wiser than your parents are. You're not. Okay? Proverbs 27:17. I love you guys. You'll figure that out one day. Just, you know, some wisdom for you. 27:17. Says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. There is value in friendship. There is value in godly community that is found in family. There is value in godly community that is found in the local church. Proverbs points us towards those things. So, if you have a family where you can find godly wisdom, whether you're a child with godly parents or you're a grandparent with a godly family or some other family relationships, if you have family where godly wisdom can be found, today I just want to encourage you, thank God for that. Children, if you have parents who fear the Lord, you should thank God for them. That is a gift from Him. If you are in a marriage where your spouse encourages you in that way, where they fear the Lord and they encourage you to fear the Lord, you should thank God for that. Not everybody has those things. Now, this also means, with that in mind, since everyone doesn't have those things, this brings to the forefront the importance of the church. Now, people that have godly wisdom in their family still need the godly wisdom of the church. But people that don't have godly wisdom in their family, children that don't have godly wisdom in their parents, most especially need the godly wisdom of the church. So if that is you, your parents aren't believers, or your spouse isn't a believer, or you're just alone, like you don't have any family left here on this earth, I just want to encourage you to pull closer to your church family. You need them, and we need you. There's a vast amount of godly wisdom sitting in the pews today. We should be thankful for that. It is a good thing. It is such a good thing and a gift from the Lord. There's one other thing I want to say about this. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says this: whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against sound judgment. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against sound judgment. I'm not going to harp on this, but I want to say this. I think it's important in our culture today to say this. There are Christians who love the Lord, but for whatever reason, they have separated themselves from His bride, from His church. And I just want to, if that's you, or if you feel that pull to separate yourself from the local church of your Lord, I just want to encourage you. It's not wise. There's a strong pull, especially when we see division in the church and we see things that shouldn't be in the church. There's a strong pull for us to separate ourselves from a local church, but I just want to encourage you. It's not good for you. Not only do you need your church, but your church needs you. So please pull closer. Fight against that. Value the community in your church. If you see something that is missing that should be there, or something that is present that shouldn't be there, then fight and pray against it. But stay. Stay. Okay. You still with me? Okay. Godly wisdom is found in godly community, and godly wisdom leads us to value godly community. And finally, last but not least, godly wisdom leads us to protect godly community. Now, in the book of Proverbs, from the front to back, we have several, as we said a moment ago, negative commands. Don't do this, don't do that. I want to highlight just a handful of them quickly. And if you've read through the book of Proverbs, you know that it repeats some of the things over and over again. It warns us away from certain things over and over again. So start in chapter 1 with me and look at verses 11 through 13 with me. It says this: if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason, like Sheol, let us swallow them up alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. So you see here, there's an encouragement to stay away from these kinds of people that yearn to shed blood, that want to murder, that want to steal. Right? Stay away from those things. Chapter 3, Verse 28. Says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow night I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. In these verses, we see a strong encouragement to stay away from selfishness, deceit, violence, and envy. Chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Find a warning against adultery, which this warning is throughout the book of Proverbs. Chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So we have a strong encouragement away from adultery. Chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider his ways and be wise. Encouragement towards work against laziness there. Proverbs 6, 14. Says, with perverted heart devises evil and continually sowing discord. We could back up and see several verses highlighting the same thing and encouragement against division. Now, each one of those things, and the list goes on and on throughout the book of Proverbs. We see murder and theft, selfishness, deceit, violence, envy, adultery, laziness, and division, discord, sowing discord. Throughout the book of Proverbs, warning against those things. And what I want you to see is most of the time the sin that Proverbs is warning against is sin that we would commit against other people. Now let me ask you a question. What does murder and theft, selfishness, deceit and violence and envy, adultery, laziness and discord do to a family? Destroys it, right? Let me ask you another question. What does murder and theft, selfishness, deceit, violence, envy, adultery, laziness, and discord do to a church family? Destroys it. So you see, if we apply the wisdom of the Proverbs to ourselves, we will surround ourselves with godly community so that we can find godly wisdom and be encouraged by that. Now this, just a side note today, this is not the only place we find godly wisdom. We find godly wisdom personally in God's Word, right? But we need our godly community to also find the godly wisdom there. Now, we find in the book of Proverbs, if we follow the wisdom in it, we will seek out godly community in our family, and if we don't have it in our family, also in our church. And we find that if we follow the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, we will value that community for the wisdom that is found in it. Not just for the sake of ourselves and gaining wisdom ourselves, but for the sake of the others in that community, because there's going to come a time where we are called to give that to someone else. And finally, we will find ourselves acting in such a way, if we apply the wisdom in this book, that we don't do certain things primarily because they dishonor the Lord and they're disobedient to Him. But we find that one of the reasons He tells us not to is because those things destroy the community that He has blessed us with. So by not doing those things and following the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs, we find ourselves protecting godly community. You with me? So we pray against these things. When we find these things rising up in our heart, we confess these things. When we find these things in our history, we seek forgiveness for these things. And we find these things rising up in our brother or sister, we address lovingly, we address those things. Because as a local church, and even as families who are Christians, we protect our godly community from these things. You with me? Now I want you to stop and contemplate before we wind up this morning. How great a gift. How great a gift for those of you who have a family that have been raised to know the Lord is your family from the Lord. The wisdom He has given you through your parents and your grandparents. How great a gift you could be to the children in your life, whether you're a parent or not. How great a gift the wisdom you have about the Lord Jesus could be in your life to those children. He loves us. He doesn't just adopt us as individual children, but He adopts us into His family. And He blesses us, and He intends us to be a blessing to one another in this way. You don't know where to go in your life? Praise God. He has given you an easy route to wisdom to figure it out. The people, the godly people in your life. Now you may be here this morning, Christian, and I want to encourage you to think about some things as we close. Is there anything in your heart or presently in your life today that is causing discord in your family? In your heart that is causing discord in your family, or that will eventually cause discord in your family? Is there anything in your heart that would cause discord in your church family? Are there relationships that you need to restore? Do you need to simply just pull closer to your church family? Parents, grandparents, when I ask you that question I asked at the beginning, are your homes places where godly wisdom flourishes? You can pray to that end. You can seek godly wisdom from other godly parents in your church who have been there and done that to figure out what that looks like for godly wisdom to flourish in your home. You may be here and you may say, I'm by myself. I don't have family here anymore, or I never have. I just want to encourage you to press harder into your church family. Press harder. We can't be there for one another if we don't know one another. It is a blessing to know one another. The good and the bad. We can laugh about the bad and we can enjoy the good. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, I just want to say again, the Lord loves us so much. He gave His Son to die on the cross in our place. And that is not all He's done for us. That is the chief of the things He's done for us. But even as we follow Him, He gives us all that we need to follow Him. So however the Lord's leading you, I want to encourage you to respond to Him as we worship Him and close our time together this morning. If you need to come and pray, if you're ready to give your life to the Lord, or if you have questions about that, feel free to come forward as we sing. Father, we love You. God, we thank You that although we are foolish by ourselves, God, You have not made wisdom hard to find. We don't have to climb a mountain. We don't have to find a guru. We don't have to buy the right book. Lord, but You've made it available to us simply through Your Son and Your Word. God, we thank You for godly families. We thank You for a wonderful church family. God, we pray that You would grow both in our church, that You would grow families even closer to You. You would grow more families that are godly within our church, and You would grow our church, make it more and more like You, fill it with wisdom that's not just sitting there, but that is constantly tapped into by our church family. God, we love You. We thank You for how much You love us, and we just sing Your praises today. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you. pray with you and pray for you and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.